Chapter 2. Two Men Without the Mule. The ship was in near readiness. Nothing lacked but the destination. The mule had suggested a return to Trantor, the world that was the hulk of an incomparable galactic metropolis of the hugest empire mankind had ever known, the dead world that had been capital of all the stars. Pritchard disapproved. It was an old path, sucked dry. He found Bail Chanis in the ship's navigation room. The young man's curly hair was just sufficiently disheveled to allow a single curl to droop over the forehead, as if it had been carefully placed there, and even teeth showed in a smile that matched it. Vaguely, the stiff officer felt himself harden against the other. Chanis's excitement was evident. "Pritchard! It's too far a coincidence." The general said coldly, "I'm not aware of the subject of conversation." "Oh. Well, then drag up a chair, old man, and let's get into it. I've been going over your notes. I find them excellent." "How pleasant that you do. But I'm wondering if you've come to the conclusions I have. Have you ever tried analyzing the problem deductively? I mean, it's all very well to comb the stars at random, and to have done all you did in 5 expeditions is quite a bit of star hopping. That's obvious. But have you calculated how long it would take to go through every known world at this rate?" "Yes. Several times." Pritchard felt no urge to meet the young man halfway, but there was the importance of filching the other's mind. The other's uncontrolled and hence unpredictable mind. "Well then, suppose we're analytical about it and try to decide just what we're looking for." "The second foundation," said Pritchard grimly. "A foundation of psychologists," corrected Chanis, "who are as weak in physical science as the first foundation was weak in psychology." "Well, you're from the first foundation, which I'm not. The implications are probably obvious to you. We must find a world which rules by virtue of mental skills, and yet which is very backward scientifically." "Is that necessarily so?" questioned Pritchard quietly. "Our own union of worlds isn't backward scientifically, even though our ruler owes his strength to his mental powers." "Because he has the skills of the first foundation to draw upon," came the slightly impatient answer. "And that is the only such reservoir of knowledge in the galaxy. The second foundation must live among the dry crumbs of the broken galactic empire. There are no pickings there."
"So then you postulate mental power sufficient to establish their rule over a group of worlds and physical helplessness as well?"
"Comparative physical helplessness. Against the decadent neighboring areas, they are competent to defend themselves. Against the resurgent forces of the mule, with his background of a mature nuclear economy, they cannot stand. Else, why is their location so well hidden, both at the start by the founder, Harry Seldon, and now by themselves? Your own first foundation made no secret of its existence and did not have it made for them when they were an undefended single city on a lonely planet 300 years ago. The smooth lines of Pritchard's dark face twitched sardonically. "And now that you've finished your deep analysis, would you like a list of all the kingdoms, republics, planet states, and dictatorships of one sort or another in that political wilderness out there that correspond to your description and to several factors besides?" "All this has been considered, then?" Chanis lost none of his brashness. "You won't find it here, naturally, but we have a completely worked-out guide to the political units of the opposing periphery. Really, did you suppose the mule would work entirely hit and miss?" "Well then," and the young man's voice rose in a burst of energy, "what of the oligarchy of Tazenda?" Pritchard touched his ear thoughtfully.
"Tazenda? Oh, I think I know it. They're not in the periphery, are they? It seems to me they're fully a third of the way toward the center of the galaxy.
Yes, what of that?
The records we have place the second foundation at the other end of the galaxy. Space knows it's the only thing we have to go on. Why talk of Tzende anyway? Its angular deviation from the first foundation radian is only about 110 to 120 degrees anyway. Nowhere near 180.
There's another point in the records. The second foundation was established at Star's End.
No such region in the galaxy has ever been located.
Because it was a local name, suppressed later for greater secrecy. Or maybe one invented for the purpose by Selden and his group.
Yet there's some relationship between Star's End and Tzende, don't you think?
A vague similarity in sound? Insufficient.
Have you ever been there?
No.
Yet it is mentioned in your records.
Where?
Oh, yes, but that was merely to take on food and water. There was certainly nothing remarkable about the world.
Did you land at the ruling planet, the center of government?
I couldn't possibly say. Janice brooded about it under the other's cold gaze. Then,
would you look at the lens with me for a moment?
Certainly.